So the love of God is not an emotion, but it is a feeling, and it is unconditional love. And it loves in spite of, not because of. You know, so many times we'll say, well, why do you love me? My wife will say, why do you love me? Which is really like, I don't know. Is this a trick question? It's a trick question, right? Why do you love me? You know, and God isn't why do you love me? God is, I love you in spite of. I love you in spite of the things that you do. That's God's love. That's agape. You know, there's a verse, and we're going to go to it, where God says, Jesus said to love your enemies. Love your enemies? And he says, look, anybody can love somebody who loves you. Okay, so you love somebody who loves you. Big deal. How hard is that, right? Make it really hard. Love somebody who doesn't like you at all. Love somebody who hates you. Love somebody who walks all over you and uses you.
Well, you know, when he's hanging on the cross and he's about to die, and you know,
who tortured him?
So, I'm still at the strike of God.
Yeah, we're still at, can we bring fire down from heaven and consume them? Yeah.
Open up the water again.
Okay, Matthew chapter 22. You know, Jesus fulfilled the law. And, you know, to really understand, honestly, to really understand Christianity, you have to understand Judaism. Because you have to understand how Jesus fulfilled the law and how Christianity fulfills and is the next step in Judaism. It really is. So in Matthew chapter 22, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest of the law? You know, and they were trying to catch him. They were trying to get him to make a mistake, right? And so in verse 35, we'll start. And one of them asked, who is a lawyer? Now everybody wants to get down on lawyers, right? Man, nobody likes the lawyers until you need one, right? No. Then one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, trying to get him to say something so that they could criticize him, so they could accuse him, saying in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? You know, so that he would say one, and then they would, you know, oh, well, that's what about this other one? What about this one? But of course, since Jesus always did the will of the Father, and since he always walked with God, he knew what to say. Jesus said unto them in verse 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And by the way, this is basically a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Okay? And there's actually several places in the Old Testament where this commandment is stated. Verse 38, This is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment, says verse 38. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy neighbor is a quotation from Leviticus chapter 19. So these are the two commandments. These are the great commandments. And then he says, basically, if you do these commandments, you'll always do the will of God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And really, you know, here's the funny thing. He says heart, what does he say? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And really, what he's saying, it's three ways of saying love God with your entire being. Because if you love Him with your whole heart, aren't you going to love Him also with your whole mind and your whole soul? Right? You will, of course. So this is really a figure of speech for emphasis. It means love God with your entire being, with everything that you are, and then love your neighbor as you would love yourself. There's another place where Jesus talks about the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Basically the same thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat everyone else as you would like to be treated, as you would treat yourself. Be as good to other people as you would be to your very self. This is the love of God, and this is how you keep God's commandments. It literally boils down to these few verses. I've heard somebody say one time, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you'll pretty much, after that, you just do as you please because you will be doing the right thing. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. Let's go to John chapter 13. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is the proof. You know, it should be that people know you are a believer without you having to tell them that, because of the way that you walk in love. I mean, that needs to be your goal. To walk in love to such a great extent that everyone just simply knows. John chapter 15. In verse 9. John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my love might remain, or excuse me, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God wants you to be full of joy. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's continue reading. Matthew chapter 5. You know, as I said before, it's easy to love someone who loves you, or to be nice to someone who is nice to you. But Matthew chapter 5 really spells it out, the extent that we should love. It really spells it out. In verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Who can say they've done that recently, huh? Prayed for somebody who just, man, they had it in for you, right? Pray for somebody who you just don't get along with. Well, congratulations.
He doesn't have anybody. He doesn't have that problem.
I'm glad to hear that. There's nobody in the drama department that rubs you the wrong way?
They do, but I do them
all. Okay. I mean, because, you know, if you're in a mix of people, there's always going to be somebody around who really, for whatever reason, you just kind of grate with. And if you know you're really walking in love, if you can be kind and to be loving and to be nice to those people. Especially your brother or sister, right? Especially your big sister or your little brother, right? The ones that absolutely just annoy you to no end. That little brother who just drives you crazy. And see, I know what that's like because I was the annoying little brother. High five. Yeah. Huh? But that's how you know. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. You know, when I talk to married people, you know, when I counsel with married people, one of the things, you know, many times that we have to deal with is how people treat each other, you know? And, you know, I always say, if you treat the clerk at the grocery store better than you treat your husband or wife, then something's wrong. Because see, walking in love is a choice. It's something that you can choose and decide to do. And frankly, many times it starts with common courtesy. It starts with just the simple things of life, the simple courtesies of life. We'll go to the store and we'll be pleasant and we'll smile at the people at the grocery store who check us out. And we'll thank them and we'll be very courteous. And we come home and sometimes we treat our family pretty bad. That we need, when it comes to our family, it needs to start with common courtesy many times. It needs to just, what's wrong with treating, you know, somebody at home the same way? Even if you don't feel like it. You know, you could be boiling mad. Think about it. You're boiling mad. And I've had this happen, actually. We had some kids knocking on the door one time. Early in the morning, waking us up in the morning, right? And they would come, and there were these kids down the street, and they would come when we first moved here, and I'm not going to say their names, but there was an annoying little boy down the street that would come, and he would knock on the door early, early in the morning and wake us up on Saturday. And I needed my sleep on Saturday, you know? And so here's what's going on. And every Saturday, the kid would come knocking on the door about 8 or 8:30, and I don't want to get up. You know, I don't want to go answer the door. And so one day, the doorbell rings about 8:30, and I am going to the door, and I am mad. And I'm boiling mad, and I'm going to tell this kid to not come to my house until at least 10. And I throw open the door, and there's a police officer at the door. And what do you think I did? I put on my nice face. That's right, and I immediately became friendly and nice.
Why was he there?
You know, he came to the door. I think something happened. I mean, they saw something like the night before. I think our car got tagged or something like that with shoe polish or something. Something had happened. It wasn't a big deal, but he comes to the door, and immediately my whole demeanor changes, and I become a nice guy. Because, and you know what? Anybody can do that. You can be mad beyond belief, and if you choose to, you can change it. You can flip it. You can flip it in a moment of time. Anybody can do it. You can make a choice and make a decision as to how you're going to treat someone else. And it's easy to make the decision to just walk in love. Okay? So, 1 John, the epistle of John, 1 John. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we should be imitators of God. That walking in love is actually how we imitate God. You know what? Let's just go there. Let's just go to Ephesians chapter 5, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And then we'll continue on in chapter 5. Now, in case you didn't know this, when Paul originally wrote Ephesians and the other books of the Bible, there were other epistles, there were no verses and there were no chapters. Maybe you didn't know that, but in the original, there were no verses and there were no chapters. And so you can begin to read in verse. Now, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with verses. They're good for reference, okay? But they weren't in the original. It was just simply a letter that Paul wrote, just simply like you and I would write a letter. When we write a letter, we don't write verses and chapters. We just write the letter, right? We might have a few paragraphs every now and then. So we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 32, and we'll continue and we'll pick up chapter 5. All right? Verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Part of walking in love is walking in forgiveness. You know, you can't be bitter and angry at somebody and forgive them. Part of walking in love is being forgiving. Let's continue reading in verse chapter 5. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." You know, you think about what God has forgiven you for, and it's not so hard maybe to forgive another person. Let's go to 1 John. So be followers, be imitators of God, it could be rendered. 1 John chapter 4. Love is very, very powerful. In verse 16, you know, we covered this whole chapter a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Nikeo, the Greek word Nikeo, to conquer. And if you recall, walking in love and walking in power go together. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For we have not received a spirit of fear," right? We have not received a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That love and fear don't go together. And to walk in power, you've got to walk in love. Jesus always walked with power, and He walked in love. And you walk in power because you walk in love. To really manifest the power of God, you've got to be walking in love. So let's read here in chapter 4, verse 16. "And we have known," and that means to know by experience. That means to experientially know. "We have known and believed the love that God has to us." You should experientially know how God loves you. To know it by experience. Not to just perceive. There's a Greek word that means to simply perceive. You know, to kind of perceive something. It's like 2 plus 2 equals 4. You know, you perceive that. But there's also, you can know something by experience. And this word "know" here is the Greek word ginosko, to know by experience. "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." You can't walk by the Spirit. God can't dwell in you, and you in God. You can't walk by the Spirit without walking in love. You can't do it. Herein, verse 17, "is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness," boldness of speech that is, "boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." What's the context? Walking in love. If you want to walk like Christ, you've got to walk in love. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." You know what it means to cast out? It's like you cast a rod. It's like you throw a ball. To throw it out, you cast it out. Like we talk about casting out there's references in the Bible to casting out a devil spirit. You literally take it and you throw it out. Get rid of it. Perfect love casts out fear. You can love someone and you can help them overcome fear. And as you walk by the Spirit, you walk in love, and you can get rid of the fear in someone's life. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment." It is. Fear, you know, fear is not believing. Fear is actually unbelief. Think about that. That's a pretty powerful statement. Fear is unbelief. And by the way, there's a difference between being cautious and concerned as opposed to being so fearful that you can't function. There's a difference. You know, it's okay to be, you know, "I'm afraid to drive 120 miles an hour, okay? Right? That's caution, okay, or concern. That's not real fear, where you're so afraid that something is going to happen that you just lock up, that you can't function. Because real fear is torment. I'm sure we've all experienced it at one time or another. Fear is torment. "Fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." See, you got to love your brother. It doesn't say sister, so you're good, right? No. You got to love your sister too. Got to love your sister too. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies." Now, whenever you see bowels in the Bible, it's talking about compassion, all right? This verse could be rendered, "If there be any exhortation or consolation," if they're in Christ, "if there is any exhortation, if any comfort," any incentive to love could be rendered, "any fellowship of the Spirit, any compassion and mercy. Because the word bowels there, it talks about, there's places where the Bible talks about bowels of compassion. And what it literally means, where you're so compassionate that you ache. You know how, you know, when you see, you know, like when you see something on TV or, you know, a really sad story, it hurts you. It actually hurts. It hurts you right here. If there therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It says three times basically to have the same mind, to think in the same thoughts. It says like-minded, being of one accord, and of one mind. And what's it talking about? To walking in love. Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, and that means selfish ambition, or vainglory, which is conceit. See, love is always selfless. You can't be selfish and walk in love. So that's why it says, let nothing be done through self-ambition, strife, or through vainglory, conceitedness, but by lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Think about other people before you think about yourselves. Look not every man on his own things. Don't look at yourself, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of love, the walking in love. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is the walk of love. You can't walk like Christ or walk by the Spirit without walking in love. You can't do it. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. And that word availeth means to have power, to exercise force. Okay? Neither circumcision exercises power or force, and neither does uncircumcision. But what does? Believing, faith, which worketh by love. And that word worketh there literally means to be energized. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Really, neither one are important. Neither one will make a difference in life. And really what that's talking about are works of the flesh. Because circumcision or uncircumcision are works of the flesh. Neither one of them are going to make a hill of beans. What is going to make a difference is believing. And believing is energized by love. Well, it's a work of the flesh. I mean, it's just a work of the flesh. Because what happens, what you don't know maybe about these times, because see, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because what happened is Paul would go through these towns and he would preach the word and teach people, and then he would go to the next town, right? And then someone would come along behind him and they would say, oh, that stuff Paul teaches, that's really good stuff. But you know what you still need to do? You still need to keep the law. And if you're going to keep the law, then you have to be circumcised. And of course, these were Gentiles who didn't know anything about that. And Paul has to go, wait a minute, Galatians. Wait a minute, you Galatians. Why do you think? Well, let's just read it. Verse 5, chapter 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that's talking about the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be or undergo circumcision, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whoso of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. In other words, if you think you can get yourself perfected through the flesh, you're wrong. Because it's not about the flesh. It's about what? Believing. It's about grace. That's why it says in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty, in the freedom, whereas Christ has made us free. You don't have to do the works of the law. It's not about the flesh. You can't scrub the outside and make the inside pure. That's why in verse 6 it says, nothing is important. Nothing is going to bring you to where you want to be. It's not circumcision nor uncircumcision, but it's believing, which is energized by love. See? Makes sense, doesn't it? Now we still have an obligation to do the right thing. And of course, here's the thing, if you do the right thing, if you walk in love, you're going to do the right thing, right? We'll get to that in just a sec. Okay? Now let's go to Galatians chapter 6. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool of God. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Part of our walk is just simply treating all men well and with respect. Let us do good unto all men. And of course, especially unto those that are, you know, our fellow believers. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because guess what? If you love someone, you're not going to kill them, you're not going to hurt them, you're not going to steal from them, you're not going to say bad things to them, right? So, that's what it does. It fulfills the law. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. And remember, we just looked in Philippians, what did it say? Have the same compassion, have the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Those are all those usages of that phrase, the different phrases, be of the same mind, of the same heart, think the same things, let this mind be in you. And this says, be all of one mind, is the same Greek word, it's the Greek word phroneo. Finally, be ye all of one mind, have compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. You know what it is to rail? What is, you know, you rail on somebody, what is that? Where you just, Or, you know what? Or like you just get in somebody's face and shout them down. That's what that means, really, to rail. You know, where you're mad and you're just going to tell it. You're going to tell them what you think, right? That's railing. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Because, you know, that's what you want to do, right? Somebody's doing that to you, you want to get back up in their face, right? Well, don't do that. But contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that you are there unto called and that you should inherit the blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Don't let anything... Guile is bitterness. Don't let anything bitter come out of your mouth. Let him eschew or avoid evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the Lord, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, right? But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, God says, you know what? You don't have to answer evil for evil or railing for railing. Okay, let's close it out in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 8. And above all things have fervent, and that word fervent there, the Greek word means unending. Have unending charity or love. That's the love of God. Charity is agape. Have unending love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And let me explain what this means here. And if you look at the context, this will make sense. What it means that it said charity will cover the multitude of sins literally means that, you know what, you'll just let things roll off your back. You know, somebody says something to you or does something to you that you don't like or that is offensive, it'll just roll off your back. It just won't even bother you. You'll say, well, you know what? You'll just You just let it go. That's what that means. It covers the multitude of sins. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging, and as every man has received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So just let love cover the multitude of sins, and that's what it'll do. As you're walking in love, somebody will say something and it won't even bother you. Somebody will do something that, you know, would be offensive and it won't even bother you. You'll be amazed at how your disposition will change. So here we are on Valentine's Day, and we give a lot of thought to romantic love, but let's give some thought to not only romantic love on Valentine's Day, but also the love of God, and think about how God has loved you and what He's done for you, and so really we should all love one another. Amen?